Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's 5 o'clock on The Fan, and it's time for The Lead with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin on Afternoon Drive.
And The Fan is looking for a winner. Be the ninth caller right now at 216-474 to below 92 to win a pair of tickets to see the Foo Fighters with Queens of the Stone Age August 10th at Huntington Bank Field. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. It's all from Live Nation and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
Albert Breer coming up in about 20 minutes' time. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin, a pro-winning show. That's what you get here on Afternoon Drive. We also have Coach Lance Reisland coming up in 60 minutes, but Albert tackled the idea of the Browns trading Myles Garrett and how much sense that makes, how feasible it might be, so we'll talk with Albert in 20 minutes, but let's get to the lead. And Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com joined Baskin and Phelps today. She talked about Myles Garrett's frustration and future with the Cleveland Browns.
Myles is very, very, very frustrated. And he's having arguably the best season of his career. And so he's long talked and talked about wanting to win championships and go to the playoffs and all those things. And here he is stuck on a team that appears to be going nowhere this season. And that's tough for him to take. I think in the offseason, he's going to have some assurances that things are going to be different and why they're going to be different and how they're going to be different. I haven't looked at the economics of it, but I don't even know if it's possible or feasible to trade him after paying him all the guaranteed money that they already have. But I do think that he will want some acknowledgement that something's got to give for next season and that there's going to be some victories coming, or he's going to want, I don't know if he would ever ask to be traded again or whatever, but he's not going to be able to continue on like this and maintain his sanity.
I just don't know what assurances would be good enough for him, considering anything short of, hey, here's our franchise quarterback, and this guarantees us a chance to at least be competitive or have a chance to be competitive, then I think he's going to be upset. And I just don't know how they guarantee and give him that spot with the quarterback when there's not a bunch out there.
I mean, the only thing I can think about in terms of assurances other than another raise, How's about $45 million a year, Myles? Is that enough assurance for you? The only other thing I can think of...
It worked the first time.
is if they actually go to Myles, and instead of doing the, we're going to try and win, Myles, if Jimmy's just honest with him and hears him out when it comes to his opinions on Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. I think that might be a concession that if instead of... And people have pointed this out. When Myles wanted to talk about his trade request way back in January,
yeah, Jimmy didn't listen.
Jimmy stonewalled him and directed him to Andrew Berry. Maybe don't do that this time, right? Maybe go ahead and listen to the guy and then see where it goes from there.
More from Mary Kay. She mentioned Kevin Stefanski's play calling duties when asked how the Browns can improve offensively.
That's not on the table. That's not something that anybody is contemplating. I mean, if anything, and I asked Kevin Stefanski this yesterday, you know, one thing that he could possibly do, and I would actually advocate it, is turning the play calling over to Tommy Rees just to see if he can't get something else out of this offense. They have to do something. What's happening now is unsustainable. Now, it will help that Sed Tillman's coming back if he can stay healthy, but they need something else. They need a change. I've also advocated trading for a wide receiver. I don't necessarily think that's in the cards, but I would do it. And once again, I think they can win some games this season if they can get that passing game going.
So I don't think they can win some games because I don't think they're going to get the passing game going. That's where Mary Kay and I maybe separate on this. There's a part of me that's like, I don't know, if Kevin gives up play calling two straight years, at some point you've told on yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also, it's the thing he loves to do the most. That's the part that escapes me. I've been wrong on this before because I was convinced he would never give it up the first time. I just thought it's the thing he loves to do the most, and he'd rather not coach than not call the plays. I was wrong once. I might be wrong twice, but I'm with you. That's a good read, the idea that if he gives it up a second time, you're really telling on your abilities, and it's a hard thing to believe in Stefanski right now in general, but it's even harder if he keeps giving up the play-calling duties, even if I don't know how much worse it could be with Tommy Rees. It's got to be better.
Yeah, and there's a part of me that, and I don't know that this would be fair to Kevin. There's a part of me that wonders, would it be the same thing that you did last year where you called plays early in the season, the offense wasn't working, and then when the season went bust, you handed the play calling over to Ken Dorsey to separate yourself from the failure on offense?
Right, but at this point, this offense has been so bad, he can't even separate himself from it.
I would think so, but I can understand. He's like, well, I got away with it once. Why not twice?
Like last year, it was at least like, oh, it was Deshaun, and then everyone just kind of blamed Deshaun, and it was what it was. And so like, I just don't think you can even go to that trick because you've averaged 15 points a game.
I don't think you can. You
scored over 20 once.
I don't think you'll pull it off.
Okay.
Could I see him attempting it? Yes. In a absolute game of succession Jenga, where you're just trying not to be the piece that it falls on, I can understand if there was some sort of machination.
But then how, play this out, right? What happens? They draft a quarterback next year in the first round, and then all of a sudden he's like, I want the play calling duty back?
That sounds about right.
We can't just, this is just a never ending cycle of him constantly giving up the play calling duty and then taking it back before the season gets underway.
That sounds about right.
To then give it up halfway through.
Yeah. I can't believe that, what that bozo Tommy Rees did.
It's madness, right, is what it is.
Kevin's back to save the day. John Fant of NBC Sports joined us last hour. He spoke his mind on Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, and the state of the Cleveland Browns.
The general manager not speaking during the bye week is a major problem to me. Guys, what is the plan from a personnel standpoint? This offensive line is worn down. This offensive line is done. They don't have a number one receiver. They don't have a number two receiver. They don't have a receiver room. The talent that is there, yes, the general manager drafted and has looked good. That's great. Up until this draft, if you looked at the second contracts from which he had drafted, it would be few and far between. He is in charge of constructing this roster. This is a bottom two or three roster in the National Football League, and the head coach is absolutely at fault. I do not want to come on this show and say I am not blaming the head coach because I don't know what the head coach is doing from week to week on offense. They don't have a plan. They don't have a semblance of a plan.
That's the real problem. They don't have the semblance of a plan. They have no idea what they're doing at this point, and they're just kind of existing, and that's not how I want an NFL team to be doing.
I'm going to continue to keep saying this. The Browns want you to believe that the year that they, after going 3-14 last year, the year that they had a four-headed quarterback Hydra, two of whom were traded within the first 5 weeks of the season, that this was the season that they decided to change their in-season media protocol to be different than it had been the first 5 years they were on there. And they want you to believe that is merely a coincidence and not proof that either Andrew Berry has already been sidelined and that he is just counting the days till he gets fired, or more likely that this is Andrew Berry separating himself for Kevin Stefanski so that the axe can fall on Kevin Stefanski and Andrew can be the guy left standing. The truth is, Kevin Stefanski has failed in 5+ years here. And the truth is, Andrew Berry has failed in the 5+ years he has been here. If you think Stefanski's failed more than Berry, that's fine. If you think Berry has failed more than Stefanski, that's fine. That's a matter of perspective. It is undeniable that they have both failed. And for them to, oh, well, this was part of the plan, to let Kevin twist in the wind four times a week, answer the same questions while your GM has made moves that look like moves for the future and not for today, including trading Joe Flacco to a division rival, including trading Greg Newsom in a deal that looks good now, but at any point we're one bad Tyson Campbell move away from that just looking like a salary dump, and including constructing a roster that honestly gave the head coach as little a chance as you can possibly have in the NFL.
Yeah, Andrew Berry's saying nothing here. He's hiding in the bushes like he's Homer Simpson, and it's ridiculous. I can tell how mad you are. I like how mad you are because we need to stay mad at these type of situations, because if not, they're just going to hide. They'll hide the entire rest of the time, and it's at these moments you have to demand some accountability and some answers and at least get to see the guys in charge.
I'm used to them being arrogant. I'm used to that organization acting like, why are you criticizing us because of our failures? I'm used to that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Right, and by the way, it goes from the top down. The whole thing. Now, I'm not saying I've ever had a conversation with Jimmy, but every conversation from them is, why are you looking at us? Because you run the team, and the team has fallen apart. I'm used to arrogance. I am. But this is beyond. This is unbridled arrogance. To think that the GM won't be speaking at a point where he's spoken every bit of the first 5 years of this team. And it is insulting to the fan base. It is insulting. And by the way, in the last possible second, you should be insulting the fan base. All right? You've got your new fancy fangled stadium that you're at least getting some public money from. All right? You got that. And by the way, a fair amount of people here who don't believe you're a good owner pulled for it because they think that's what's best for Browns fans, but you got that. And then you think you kowtowed because of the Deshaun Watson trade. You haven't kowtowed enough. It is the single greatest failure in the history of this organization, and that includes the time they moved the real team to Baltimore 30 years ago. Just have some class. step up to a microphone and lean into the swing.
We know you're not going to say anything. That's not the point. The point is we get to try to get you to at least have a conversation, and then you get to be as shifty as you want to be about it, but you have to show your face.
Dr. Lupertazzi on Twitter saying this is, I don't think he's a real doctor, just so we're clear.
Wow.
Or at least not a medical doctor. Maybe he's one of those
That's
people
true.
Who has a doctorate,
That's
but not
mom.
A medical...
My mom's one of those people.
Right there. But she is a real doctor, but she's not a medical doctor.
She is. She signs her name, doctor, but she's
That's
not a medical
power
doctor.
Move. That's I already love your mom because she's your mom, but now I love her more for signing her name doctor.
She makes people call her doctor every now and again. What's funny is, so she'll do it in
especially in fun times, you know what I mean?
Come on now. In
what?
Fun times?
Yeah. The doctor will see you now? Come
that
on.
That is my mother.
Like, that's not a play?
That is my mother.
I would use that all the time.
She gave birth to me.
Yes, she did.
She can do whatever she wants to do in life.
Darn right she can. The good doctor.
That's a TV show. Now you're just naming TV shows.
Young Sheldon. Dr. Lupertazzi saying, this is a team that is tanking and they don't want to talk about that tanking. It's not rocket science. Yes. And yet it's your job to talk about tanking. It's your job to communicate your direction for the franchise. You don't just get to opt out because it's a tough conversation to talk and get a good perspective here on Myles Garrett's situation here and the feasibility. Would a trade actually be feasible under the salary cap there? Stefanski buried the whole nine yards. We head out to the fan hotline here, as we do every single Tuesday at 5:20, and welcome in the great Albert Breer of the MMQB. Albert, welcome to the show.
Well, hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing very well. It's certainly an interesting time to be talking about the Cleveland Browns, as there seem to be a little bit at a crossroads here. I know you've written about this on the MMQB. Is it feasible to be having conversations about trading Myles Garrett if things get even uglier here in Cleveland?
I think it is. Now, I mean, it would take some like cap gymnastics to do that. You'd have to restructure some guys, and it might be a little messy. But I'm just here to tell you, I know a lot of people have looked at that dead cap number and are acting as if it's going to go away over the next few years. I mean, I got news for you. That number's not going away. That's proration that's been built up over time. And, you know, it's unfortunately, at one point or another, they're going to have to deal with it. And I would just argue that, like, in a lost season, this might be the time to do it. Now, you're going to create some problems for yourselves for next year because you'd have to restructure some guys, which pushes some of that money into 2026 and even 2027. So there would definitely be some complications to that. But you're going to have to, at some point, reckon with the proration on his contract. And I don't know, guys. Like, I just think of this in timelines, right? Like, and I look at it right now, and if I'm the Browns, the way I'm looking at this is, can I get good enough, fast enough, to maximize what's left of Myles Garrett's prime? And I'm just looking at it. You can look at the team across the field from you on Sunday, right, New England. Now, they're doing this. And I think there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors involved, but they're doing this with a quarterback in his second year. So even on that timeline, if you catch a comet the way the Patriots did with Drake May, you'd be talking about drafting that guy this year, and then it would be 2027 when that's happening. And Myles Garrett's turning 32 that year. That's how old Von Miller was when the Broncos traded him to the Rams. That's how old J.J. Watt was when the Texans cut him. So, and those are guys, obviously, that I think are Myles' peers from a legacy standpoint, you know? So, I don't know. I just look at it, and I understand the attachment that every fan would have to the player, right? No question. You should have that attachment to be a great player, an all-time great player. You know, but there's also this, like, realization I think you have to come to where you look yourself in the mirror and say, is this going to work with this player? Is this player worth more to us in this lost season and next year, what's probably going to be another rebuilding year where we're not quite sure what's going to happen at quarterback? And then maybe, like, we're now ascending in 27, like the Colts did or like the Patriots are right now. And maybe we catch the end of his prime there. But then you're building forward from that. And would the guys that you'd be putting on your roster, instead of having him, be better fits for that from a timeline perspective when you'd be talking about guys who are 22, 23, 24 years old. I think it's an interesting conversation to open up anyway. And I look at the Browns, the hole at quarterback, a hole at receiver, a hole at tackle, and I'm not sure that they can get good enough fast enough to maximize what's left of Myles Garrett's prime. And so it might be one of those situations where the best thing for everyone involved is to find him a new home.
All right, Albert, you've established the feasibility of all this. Now tell me what we're getting back in return. What is the street market value for Myles Garrett if they were able to pull something off?
Two first-round picks plus something else. I mean, that's been established. That's what Jalen Ramsey went for. That's what Micah Parsons went for. Those guys were younger. But Myles is a transcendent player, and he's still playing at a very high level. You know what I worry about if I were Cleveland right now is if I hold on to him for a couple more years, his value is going to descend. So if I want to trade him in 2 years, that price is going to be not what it is right now because then he's going to be well into his 30s. I think maybe the best example of it is Von Miller. I mean, again, Von Miller was about Miles' age when he was traded from the Broncos to the Rams, and he's still a good player. But at that point, he went for a second and third round pick, which is still a good price, but it's not near what he would have gotten 3 or 4 years earlier. And, like, the Broncos, at the end, they weren't winning. So, like, I think if you ask the Broncos, they could kind of turn back the clock on that. They would say, yeah, we would have been better off trading him in 19 instead of 21, you know? So I don't know. This sort of thinking requires some like hard looks in the mirror, but I would also argue, guys, the Browns took that hard look in the mirror when they decided to trade the second overall pick, and they said to themselves, we're not one player away. We need to get younger. The cost of the Deshaun Watson deal is just starting to hit us now, and we have 3 years without a first-round pick. And so, I don't know. I think that what they did with the second pick, created a really good start when it comes to injecting youth into your roster. And now you've got the draft class with Graham and Schlesinger and Judkins and Fannin. And it looks like that's a pretty good start to where you want to go. You can really supercharge that if you're talking about potentially having 5 first-round picks over the next 2 years.
Albert, Kevin Stefanski has kind of been 2-6. He's been the face of a 2-6 team. Andrew Berry did not speak after the Flacco trade or the Newsom trade. And despite the first 5 years of this, him talking at the bye, he's not talking at the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews,
all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
By this year. So do you think that there's any part of Kevin that feels like he's been put in an impossible situation being the face of 2-6 while also going 2-6?
Yeah, I think it's always a hard situation, you know, when, like, the coaches have to answer for everything, you know. And, like, I would sympathize with Kevin on that. I think we went over that, right, like, when we were talking about what Tomlin said a couple weeks ago, where, like, I do think, like, you know, in certain situations, especially, like, with the trade deadline next week and so many questions, big picture questions about the roster, questions about Miles, questions about the quarterback situation, it would probably help take some of the heat off of Kevin if Andrew talked. I would agree with that. You know, again, like, all teams do these things different ways, but and so it's not unusual that a general manager wouldn't talk during the year. There are plenty of teams that just, like, basically say once the general manager hands the team off to the coach, start training camp, the general manager doesn't talk. So that's not uncommon. But I'd say in this particular situation, it is a little bit of a weird look when, you know, you're 2-6 and you're going the other way after having him talk the last, you said 5 years, right? The last 5 years he was talking during his bye week.
All right, Albert, we went 4 weeks with Joe Flacco. We are now at 4 weeks of Dylan Gabriel, and a lot of the numbers look very, if I said pedestrian, it would be a compliment. They're not good. Do they stay with Dylan coming out of the bye, or do you feel like they make the move to Shador?
I think they're going to stick with Dylan. I don't know how long it's going to last. I would just say, like, the way it looks right now, to me at least, is they've got to do so much to generate offense to begin with. And Vrabel actually, like, had that little dig after the game, right? Wasn't, did he say something about trick plays or something?
Yeah, like gimmick plays. Yeah, once they ran out of them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's sort of the reality of their offense right now, and the offensive talent on hand, is that they've got to do some of these things to generate yardage, you know, and that's not a great place to be. So I think the bigger picture question here is, does putting Shador in there solve that, or does it? Or does it make it worse, you know? And, like, if you're hanging by a thread with your players, and it's like, again, like, if they're frustrated with their own production, they're frustrated with their unit's production, and this is specifically to the offense, not the overall team, then the only way I think you can turn to Shador is if he's showing it in practice, right? Because if Shador doesn't look good in practice, the players are going to know, and they're going to look at you like you've got two heads if you throw them in there midway through the season. Because a lot of these guys right now, I mean, again, like, you want to talk about it being a not-for-long league, like, a lot of these guys don't know which team they're going to be playing for next year. You know, so if you're not giving them the best answer at the most important position, that can affect their ability to make money next year. That can affect their ability to be in the league next year. So, like, I think, like, just listen to what Kevin's saying when he talks about the quarterbacks. I think if you listen closely to what he's saying, the answers are all there.
Albert, with all this, I want to give you a perception that I think I believe to some degree, I think a lot of Browns fans believe to some degree, and I want, maybe you can refute this or back it up in any which way. Is it fair to say that Dylan Gabriel is a Kevin Stefanski guy and that maybe Shador is an Andrew Berry guy?
I don't know. I mean, like, I tend to think, like, so I would say this. Like, I would say most coaches, most offensive coaches want guys who are going to go in there and run their offense at the highest level. And I think Dylan came into the league far more capable of doing that than Shador did. Just because He played at three different schools. He started, 61 games in college, played a bunch of different systems. I think Dylan, for all of his physical limitations, and we've seen all of them now, right? For all of his physical limitations, I think we can agree that Dylan's capable in those areas, right? And if it's like a battle to just get a first down, you're going to go with the guy who's got the best chance to get you the first down. I think that's sort of where they are right now. And I don't think that has anything to do with, like, Kevin preferring one guy over the other guy. And I honestly think, like, Andrew would be with whatever the coaches want him to do. Now, if you're talking about the analytics people and all that, that might be different, right? But I don't think Andrew's looking at this in any other way, but, like, I do want to support my head coach here. And, look, the reality is, guys, I mean, this staff has done a pretty good job this year of developing rookies, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they're getting you results at every other position, wouldn't you trust them with the quarterback, even if the production's not great?
No, probably not. Just because of the every other quarterback thing they've made.
We're on quarterback 12 now with Stefanski.
Well, because you guys wouldn't have a show if that were the answer, right? But I mean, like, I think that's what it is, guys. Is like they developed Schlesinger, they've developed Judkins, they developed Fannin, they found creative ways to use Harold Fannin, who's a really different type of player. You know what I mean? Like, they found the right ways to get the most out of these guys right away in the league. I mean, I just think, like, if the offense is playing this poorly, and like Shadur were some sort of better answer at quarterback, he would be in there. Like, that's the other way you lose the team, by the way, is if Shadur is just crushing it in practice right now and you're not playing him. That would be a very fast way for Kevin Stefanski to lose that team. So I don't believe that's what's happening.
Yeah, on the development thing, though, obviously it's a good year for them in the draft, and we've kind of established that. But for the previous 5 years, we had not seen them develop talent. I have like three different third round wide receivers that pop up to my head, everything from David Bell down to Cedric Tillman down to Anthony Schwartz. Yeah. Just immediately, where you're like, they hadn't been able to get these guys to a spot where they could play right away or at least have an impact right away. I mean, we went 5 years, Albert, with one Pro Bowler in JOK, and that was it.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, like, and again, like, where do you draw the line there between the draft pick and the development, right? Like, so I think that's fair. But how many of those guys are going out other places and crushing it? Like, how many of the guys have washed out of Cleveland that have gone other places and like, oh my God, look at them now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, you know, Baker comes to mind. There's a couple different players that you would gravitate to.
I think Baker's like a different. I think they did get good play out of Baker, right? At least the first year they did, and then he was hurt in the second year.
It feels more like back in like the 1-31 days, we had a lot of like DeMario Davises and Jordan Poyers and those type. And now I don't know that we have as many of those.
We got a Tommy Togiai.
Yeah, we got a Perrion Winfrey. Like, we got guys like that just kind of are here and then they're gone.
Right, and I think. I think there's like a lot of fair big picture questions to be asked on that. No question. I mean, and look, like, I think like part of what we're talking about too is the damage that Deshaun Watson trade did was so massive. I mean, it's part of the reason why it's hard to trade Garrett now, right? Because like you're already dealing with with Watson's cap charges, which is why why you would have to do all these gymnastics to trade Garrett if you wanted to, right? So there's that, and then there's 3 years without first-round picks. And this is a simple way to look at it, too, guys. Like, I've seen this with teams before. I think you've seen it with the Browns a little bit. When teams don't have first-round picks, what they'll a lot of times wind up doing is they'll wind up taking chances later in the draft because it's like, okay, how do we make up for that? Well, we're going to catch somebody who's falling. And generally, like, those guys fell for a reason, right? Now, you might hit on one, but you might draft a guy who's had a lot of injury issues. You might draft a guy with a character problem. And, like, in a lot of cases, you'll see teams where they trade away first-round picks, and now all of a sudden, all right, we're going to start taking swings. And, yeah, there's a chance that you hit on one of those, but then there's also a chance you swing and miss, which is almost like now you've missed on two picks because you don't have the first-rounder and you don't have the pick that you missed.
Albert, many of our young team members are afraid of haunted houses. Is Albert Breer?
No, I used to love that stuff when I was a kid.
See, that's the right response.
The one thing I don't like, I loved like the Halloween series when I was a kid. I think I was in high school and like Scream and I Don't Know What You Did Last Summer, all that came out, right? Big Nev Campbell fan when I was a teenager. I would say the one thing that I don't like, roller coasters, all that different stuff, is anything that makes me dizzy. So like they have, you know, there's one at a park up here called the Turkish Twist, where, and I'm sure you guys have these too. I'm sure they exist everywhere, but they're like called something else. You're up against the wall and the room starts spinning and then the floor drops from underneath you and you're stuck to the wall.
Oh yeah,
so
I don't like that.
On one of those,
that makes sense.
So stuff like that I don't like. But scary movies. You know what scared me more than any movie ever when I was a kid?
What's that?
Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when they did Aliens things. I was like, man, I don't want to be probed.
Right.
This sounds awful.
Well,
that was your big fear.
The magic of that show was somehow it would always make you believe. Like, you would go to bed thinking that there was a chance that that spaceship that was abducting people was going to land in your backyard. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Or that the killer that was on the loose, like, that he, like, very well could be in your neighborhood. That was, like, the magic of that show, is it made you believe that whatever threat that they were, like, they were doing a segment on, that threat was real, and that threat could very well be out your window if you, like, pulled the shades down.
Yeah, Robert Stack sold it in the best possible way. By the way, I grew up with the Turkish Twist being a totally different thing. I don't think we can have that conversation on air there, Albert. Albert, great stuff, man. You've been on top of the Myles Garrett stuff. We appreciate your time, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one. I would just argue that, like, in a lost season, this might be the time to do it. You're going to have to, at some point, reckon with the proration on his contract and... I don't know, guys, but I just think of this in timelines, right? Like, and I look at it right now, and if I'm the Browns, the way I'm looking at this is, can I get good enough, fast enough, to maximize what's left of Myles Garrett's prime? I look at the Browns, the hole at quarterback, a hole at receiver, a hole at tackle, and I'm not sure that they can get good enough, fast enough, to maximize what's left of Myles Garrett's prime. And so it might be one of those situations where the best thing for everyone involved is to find him a new home.
Albert Breer in the previous segment giving us his take on Myles Garrett. Now, it should be noted, Albert talked about the prorated salary, so basically the many times that they've redone Miles's contract, and that kind of, I guess you would say, penance financially, should you trade him. I know that you brought some numbers to the air earlier from Over the Cap.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to believe, other than everybody seems to believe this is actually feasible to trade Myles Garrett.
That's the main takeaway there. And I could throw a bunch of numbers if they did it for next week. You don't really need to know any of that. The synopsis, the TLDR, is that not only does Albert think that it's something that could happen, the Browns would be kneecapped for the following, like this year, which is understandable. We're already kneecapped. And then next year, you'd be paying Deshaun Watson $45 million, and it'd be about $40 million or so for Myles Garrett. You'd basically be sunk in the water for next year as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but there'd be no hiding from it. There'd be no like, oh, we wonder what we... No, no, no. You'd be a pretty bad football team next year. But the idea behind this is that you'd have 5 first-round picks over the next 2 drafts, which is a ton, and you'd be playing a little bit of a longer game, which if I'm Andrew Berry, I might be enticed by. What do they love? They love the idea that they keep their job longer. This would extend out the life of Andrew Berry.
And one of the talking points has been, do you try and cut Deshaun post June 1 after this next year, meaning like after this season, or do you wait until the next summer? I'm just going to tell you, I don't think you can trade Miles and then try to move on from Deshaun next summer, which would mean you probably would have to allow Deshaun to be part of a quarterback competition next year, which would only increase the seventh circle of hell that Miles wouldn't be here, and potentially Deshaun would be.
Or you could go the other direction and really slide into that poison pill that we talked about for this year and just make that next year, and you just take on all your cap problems and just handle it all next season. So you take on all the Myles Garrett everything, you take on all the Deshaun Watson everything, and you just clean slate while stinking up for this next following season. The hard part about that, though, is you're entering the year where everyone, you can't hide from it like this year where you tried to give off the impression that you were trying to win games. There'd be none of that. You would just be admitting outwardly, we are going to stink.
And it would be, on some level, a tank.
It would be.
Like
no, it would
be. The point of this year is supposed to be the poison pill year, and then it's a bridge to next year. If you get your quarterback in 2026, 2026 is a building year, and then 2027, the hope is you could be built in a sustainably competitive way in trading Miles and accepting the cut for Deshaun. You'd be tanking in 2026, which means you'd get the quarterback in 2027, which means you probably aren't having the bridge to competitiveness in 2028. The reason why this all sounds like it makes a lot of sense is, and if you're not cross-eyed already from the what I just set up, is when do they really want to have this team ready by? 2029 for the new stadium.
For the stadium, yeah, exactly right. Yeah, and so you can see how this could all come together. I don't think this is, listen, I don't know. Do you think this is an accident that Albert's speaking of this right now?
No, nor do I think it was an accident that Albert said what he said about how that he can understand if Kevin feels it's a little unfair, the position he's been in as the guy who has to take all the slings and arrows for 2-6 is Andrew Berry conveniently is nowhere to be seen for the first time at the deadline, for the first time at the bye, excuse me, ever.
We are back to a choose-your-own-adventure book, aren't we? And it feels like the Browns do have options here.
But it's like when Indiana Jones, it's like you get the snakes or the big rolling ball. Yeah. None of them are like, okay, but you can walk out this door safely and everyone lives happily ever after. No, you got to survive the snakes, the rolling ball, the Kamikaze guy, the whole deal, and then maybe you'll live.
Well, because the greeniest projections have us, as Albert calls it, catching a comet. Right, where you draft a quarterback and then by year two, he's Drake May, where all of a sudden he can be something and can be awesome. And that just happens so few and far between anyway.
And the other problem is the other way to look at that is it's huffing paint. Like you're either catching comet.
Now we're talking a language.
Or you're huffing paint.
Yeah, yeah.
And you won't know until like 2 years in when you might be in rehab. Fair?
You never know until you're in rehab. Am I right, guys?
Is this comet real? Or was that paint really just the good?
You never really know until you just wake up and you're kicking and screaming and people already have you there at the facility.
Yeah, but everyone's like, Nick, this has been coming for a while. And you're like, I can control it. It doesn't control me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the famous lines. Yeah, I watched a lot of that. I think the show was called Rehab.
But no, is it was Intervention?
Intervention. That was. I can't believe I blanked on the name.
We
of
also
that.
Had Celebrity Rehab, which I also watched.
Intervention was a great show. Very sad, but great
Celebrity
show.
Celebrity Rehab was not.
I wouldn't think it would be.
Yeah.
There's no empathy attached to celebrities in their rehab journey.
They're like, I just had all
especially
this money
when it's on TV.
And just everybody loved me and I could have any woman I want. Well, and so I wanted drugs. It's like, but this doesn't make sense to me. I don't have any of those things and I don't want the drugs.
Well, and when it's on TV though, we're like, is it even real? Is it not real? I don't really know what's happening here. Meanwhile,
Daniel Baldwin's just an awful human being in the show.
You get some alcoholic from Nebraska though. That's just like, just like she's really trying to make sure that she can sneak the vodka into the cup and no one realizes. And then she's confronted with an intervention. Like that was really high quality television.
And if I was smarter, I'd make this an allegory for the Cleveland Browns. I'm not gonna though.
Was Albert our intervention? Is that what just happened here?
Oh yeah. Yeah. This is the, Nick, it's not your fault from Good Will Hunting.
Yes, yes. As Albert tries to lay out all the plans and what we probably should be doing as a franchise.
And then I said, Albert, like I know it's not my fault. It's Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski's fault.
And meanwhile, we're just kicking and screaming and we're like, you don't really want to take me to that place, do you?
Yeah, but even if we kick, it's going to be wide left. Like,
you missed another one this weekend.
I was going to take a shot at Andre Schmidt. You keep kicking, kid. I like you.
We're at a spot
you
where
look
nobody...
like Anthony Alant.
How you know the season is gone in
your
the toilet?
Guy.
Yeah, the season's in the toilet when no one even has the energy to discuss kicking.
Yeah, because you know what? He
doesn't
made,
matter.
He's made some kicks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.